This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening and welcome to the Well-Being Report. This program is generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director here at WDIY. On this show, we talk about the local drivers that impact health and wellness and the collective efforts by the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network in addressing community health. As always, to continue this discussion, I welcome my co-host, Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret. Good to be with you. It's been great to focus on the vital conditions and looking at the things that really help people to thrive over time in our local communities here in the Lehigh Valley and within Allentown. And tonight's show will be no different. We will start to dig into another one of our vital conditions, humane housing.
Great. And last month, we talked about the importance of parks and green space and how that relates to health with Ruffian Tittman, the inaugural executive director of the Allentown Partnership.
Yes, it was a great conversation to hear about the partnership and what their plans are, how they're partnering with the city of Allentown to help support the many wonderful parks that are throughout our city, and thinking about what are those signals in communities that tell people that this is a welcoming space, this is a space to be in, this is a space to utilize. So for those who didn't listen to the episode, if you look at the Lehigh Valley with Love account on Instagram, there's a post about the show and the episode and asks people what their favorite park is in the Lehigh Valley. And so if you get a chance, go on, give some shout outs and some love to your favorite park locally.
Yeah, that was fun. So this episode, we're going to be focusing on humane housing as a vital condition. To talk all things housing from the grassroots neighborhood level up to the city of Allentown at large, we're pleased to be joined by Franklin Park resident and executive director of Ripple Community Inc., or RCI for short, Sherry Binder. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also we're joined today by Director of Community and Economic Development for the City of Allentown, Vicki Kistler. Welcome.
Thank you.
I have been really looking forward to this conversation because I think that we hear about housing so often. We hear it when we're talking about affordable housing, around quality of housing, cost of living, and the increases of cost of living, especially through COVID and how that's impacted things. You two are both experts in this space, and so I'm really looking forward to getting your insights as to what housing looks like here and why sometimes it's difficult for us to start to address some of that. Within the vital conditions framework, they frame it as humane housing. And so I want to start by asking you, what do you think of when you think of humane housing, and how would you define that? Sherry, I'll start with you.
Sure. So I think most of us have a sense of what is good housing and what is inadequate housing. So humane housing is really the good side of that spectrum, thinking about what is good housing. And it's referring to housing that is safe, housing that's stable, that's healthy, housing that's accessible, housing that's appropriate for the family that it holds. And importantly, it also puts that housing in the context of place or in the context of the neighborhood. So it allows us to really think about housing beyond just four walls and a roof, the structure of housing, and to think about how that housing is situated in a neighborhood context. So how it's connected to things like schools or transportation, places of employment, green spaces, access to services, all of those things that really make life make sense.
Absolutely. Vicki, what would you add to that?
I think Sherry defined it really well. Our City of Allentown residents spoke loud and clear in our community health needs assessment, stating clearly that social isolation was one of the leading risk factors for poor health outcome. And we truly believe that we have to start to look beyond the bricks, the mortar of the home, and look at where the home is and how people fit into the world around them.
Great answers that I think really kick off this conversation and acknowledge the intersection of housing with so many other things we talk about as well.
So I know in this room, we've all been to our fair share of housing summits and housing conversations. I mean, this is part of your work, so clearly you're living it every day. But we've been made aware of housing challenges here in the Lehigh Valley and in the city of Allentown over the past few or many years. I've certainly had conversations with other, the Planning Commission, for instance, on housing. It just feels like a really challenging area to make progress on or develop solutions for. And it feels like we're constantly pushing a border.
Boulder.
Feels like we are constantly pushing a boulder uphill, if you will. Can you share your insights on why housing can often be a really difficult needle to move? Vicki, why don't we start with you?
Well, I think there's a myriad of factors that complicates housing. In the city of Allentown, the age of the housing stock is one of the driving forces. That these houses were stable, safe, humane, so to speak, but many of them over time have experienced deterioration or neglect. Add that to surrounding townships and municipalities zoning, which in at times actually prohibits the development of concentrated housing. Add that to the fact that we have a complex network of housing that is located very close geographically to two major cities. So we're seeing the influx of cash buys and homes that have been family homes for years turned into rentals. And again, due to the demand coming from metropolitan areas around us, rents have skyrocketed. It's not unique to Allentown or the Lehigh Valley. There's a housing problem, countrywide. But we are seeing some unique challenges in the fact that our market has stayed so inflated for so long that it's priced some people out of the rental market, and home ownership seems like an unaffordable dream.
Anything to add there, Sherry?
Yeah, I agree. And I think also it's expensive, right? This is an expensive problem to address, an expensive challenge to tackle, and it's getting more expensive as time goes on. And I think particularly when it comes to, you know, what we would consider affordable housing or accessible housing or housing that's available for our lower income neighbors, it's really complicated when it comes to the funding structures that allow those types of homes to be built and created in our community. And it turns into this like really high stakes game of whack-a-mole where every funding source comes with this suite of requirements, and the funding commitments require approvals, and the approvals require funding commitments, and every funder wants to be the last dollar in. And and I think within that it can be easy to lose the plot, because, you know, from our experience, when we talk about the need for housing, a lot of the emphasis is placed, again, on that kind of physical structure of housing, the construction of housing. But housing is really about people. Mm-hmm. And when it's, if we can kind of recenter, if we can make sure that we're focused on making sure all of our neighbors have a good and safe place to call home, we can maybe stumble a little bit less. We might be able to navigate or overcome some of the barriers associated with that physical creation of housing.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think it speaks to housing requires so many different people to be involved, mm-hmm. also for the solutions, right? There mm-hmm. is not one group that's responsible for those solutions or those fixes. So I think it's something that will carry through as we continue here. Vicki, in the city, you guys took a big step this past year and put out a housing study and really looked at the housing stock in Allentown and breaking it down below city level. What do the different neighborhoods in Allentown need to be able to support the residents that live here with healthy housing? Can you tell us a little bit about that study? What made you move forward with that, and what are the results telling us thus far?
I believe the city's done a number of housing studies, and we felt that it just wasn't granular enough to give us a good picture of where to start or what types of programs to try to develop. So this particular housing assessment called Welcome Home focused on actual block-by-block geographies, and it identified for us those neighborhoods where investment in the homes that are already there could stabilize that neighborhood. where we have owner-occupied housing, where some of those owners have challenges in the upkeep and the maintenance of their homes, and then others where the instability and the age of the housing market coupled together make them incredibly vulnerable neighborhoods. So we tried to put together a plan where we could offer some programming like a home repair program for owner-occupied income-eligible folks, where we could do some of those critical roofs or some of those critical plumbing or electrical improvements that might keep the family there longer with a deed restriction or a lien against the property, so that we'll recoup that money if the property sells, but that we're hoping for a long period of time those owners will stay within those homes because they've been stabilized, as opposed to other areas where the housing is truly in need of complete repair or even a raise. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to strategize our efforts on a more granular level as a result of that study.
I hear you say two important things, I think. One, sometimes breaking it down to smaller scale blocks or neighborhoods can make it more feasible for us to wrap our mind around what we do about that, but also that the city has some levers that it can pull and that it can help be in partnership with others, support housing transformation. Would you say that those are two things that are highlighted within the study?
They are, and the city is trying to be creative.
Yeah.
Funding is, we're in a very uncertain time right now.
Yeah.
There's development challenges all over, anything from supply chain issues to potential tariffs to bank uncertainty, lending issues, competition among development projects for limited resources. So there's a myriad of challenges. So we're trying to utilize whatever funding we can to try to make an impact. Also to partner with other community agencies to see if we have enough money for the roof, does Habitat or does CALV have enough money for the handicap ramp or for the bathroom renovation, so that we can partner together to try to make a bigger impact. But as Sherry said, it's a very complicated process. I'm relatively new to the actual bricks and mortar process, but it's nearly impossible to navigate the tax credits that are offered, to navigate the complexities of using any federal funding if it's available, and then the issues of actually getting the workforce together around housing. Many of our community partners have disbanded their housing efforts simply because they can't find staff or workers that are skilled in the trades that really want to take on these projects. So it's complex.
I think one other question that comes to mind for me is, often I think we're seeing across other cities building new properties, building new buildings, bigger buildings. Feels like in the city of Allentown, there's not a ton of space to build new, but more about repairing older homes and making sure that those stay up to the quality that they should be. How do we balance those two things, the building new versus investing in the housing stock that we have? And, you know, how do we think about those two things in proportion to one another?
The challenge right now with building new is the acquisition of the land. The price for property right now is astronomical. So you really need to own a building and decide you're going to convert that building if you want to do a more economical project. What we're really hoping happens is we're trying to, again, partner with some agencies to try to do some first-time home buyers, to try to do, right now, what happens to our folks who have saved and have worked hard and are trying to get their first home is that they're often outbid by a cash deal with no inspections on an existing property. We have to change that by actually using our redevelopment authority to acquire some of those properties, renovate those properties, and then give that first-time family that first-time leg up in partnership with a lending institution. So that's our immediate goal, and that's what we've strategized to start working on. But as Sherry said, it's very tiny steps at a time. It's a slow process. To take and renovate three or four homes is, you know, monumental when we're 9,000 units short. So it's a challenge, but we are starting to see creativity and progress.
And the cash, you mentioned the cash sales or buyers that are coming in. Are those out of state landlord, or they want to rent out the houses? Like, or are they single family buyers?
It's very interesting. Many of these buyers are LLCs.
Ah, okay.
And those LLCs don't necessarily identify who they are. Usually we get information on a property manager, not necessarily on a property owner. So that's been a challenge. And we have a legal opinion that we can't change that. LLCs are protected LLCs. Mm-hmm. So we have every reason to believe, noting that our property records through the county are indicating that many, I would say more than 70% of the sales that are going on to people who don't live in Allentown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So walking this back to our neighborhood level, mm-hmm. Sherry, how do you think areas of this plan could benefit residents in Franklin Park?
Yeah. So one of the things I appreciate about what Vicki has shared is that it really resonates with one of our guiding principles at RCI, which is agency. So that means for us that above all else, we support our residents, our community members in the decisions that they make for themselves and for their families, even when those decisions don't necessarily make sense to us or don't feel like the best decision in our view. So when I think about housing in Franklin Park, I think about making sure that our neighbors are able to make the housing decisions that, again, make sense for themselves, make sense for their families. And when those decisions include wanting to stay in the neighborhood, building their lives in that community, you know, raising families in that community, then we want to make sure that we have housing options that make that possible. We have a family that's in our Ripple Circle that had lived in the Franklin Park neighborhood for years and years. They rented for years and years and years. They reached a point where they wanted to buy and were ready to buy their first home, and we were so excited for them to be able to do that. And then it turned out that in order to do that, they had to move well outside mm-hmm. of the area. And so while we celebrate, you know, that step of being able to own a home, what a loss it is for that mm-hmm. family to lose their community, what a loss it is for our community to lose that family when, given the option, they would have stayed and would have continued to be part of that fabric. So, you know, we think about how do we get to the point where staying is possible? How do we make sure that we have the housing stock that is accessible, affordable for the families who are in Franklin Park and want to remain in Franklin Park? And, you know, we think about home ownership, which is obviously a really good goal for some households, for people who think that that's the right move for them. But I think we can think more broadly too about community ownership. What does it mean to have local ownership of our homes, of our parcels, of the land within the neighborhood? Because, you know, when you think about it, whoever owns the land really holds the, I'm going to say destiny, that's a dramatic sounding word, but I think it's accurate, right? Who owns the land really holds the future of the neighborhood and holds the ability to make decisions about what is done and how in that community. So, you know, thinking about not just individual home ownership, but also making sure that the community has a good sense of ownership and ability to use that space in a way that benefits the neighborhood as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And just to break in a little bit and back up to maybe an intro of what Ripple Community does. Mm-hmm. Sure. So obviously you have a place within this housing issue. And so why don't you give us a little bit about what your work is?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So Ripple Community Inc. is a nonprofit organization. We're based in the Franklin Park neighborhood of Allentown. We're getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary. So we have a big milestone coming up. But our mission is really focused on relationship, connection, and community. So that has been the center of our work since day one. The first program that we started is a program called our Community Building Center, which is a community center open to the public. The sole purpose of that program is to provide a really safe and welcoming space for our neighbors who need it. It touches on that need that Vicki mentioned earlier of making sure that we're addressing issues of isolation and loneliness within the city, which is a pressing public health concern. We also run a housing program that is focused on providing really safe, stable, healthy, permanent, forever put down roots in the community housing for our neighbors who have been either literally homeless or housing unstable in the past. And we are really proud of that program because it has a really good success rate in terms of providing long-term stability for people who have struggled to find that in their lives. So 87% of the folks who have ever been part of our housing program are still stably housed today. And I say that to really emphasize that while we work in this housing space, we run a housing program, our work is not about housing per se. Our work is really about community and connection. And it's just really difficult to have a good and stable and connected life if your housing is unstable. So we are really fortunate to be part of this amazing collection of partners and collaborators in the Franklin Park neighborhood, where we get to play a leading role, and we hope an increasingly leading role in looking at housing, but doing that again in that context of all of these other critical pieces that come together to make Franklin Park an amazing place to live.
Great, thank you. Now let's tie it all back to health, which is what we're here to talk about primarily. So we're having this conversation today because we know housing is a driver that impacts our health outcomes. What role do you think the hospital system can play in supporting humane housing outside the traditional scope of healthcare?
It's a great question, and one that I think healthcare struggles with. I think of all the social determinants, housing feels like the hardest one. Mm. What is the role for healthcare in the housing space? And that can really look a lot of different ways. And when you look at health systems across the country, the level of partnership can vary from just being at the table and being part of a continuum of care or a housing collaborative, and having a seat at the table to at least have an awareness of what's happening in the housing space in your community is a first step. It can then also look like partnerships with key community-based organizations, whether it may be referring to an agency that is providing housing like RCI, or having medical legal partnership where you're partnering with a civil legal entity to address housing related issues that impact people's ability to either stay in housing or to get housing due to legal issues. It can also take the form of, being an advocate. Health systems are really large systems within a community. So like the city of Allentown or like any city, city government, it is an opportunity to advocate for, on behalf of the community around what the residents there need. And then there's innovative programs like respite care. Someone's being released from the hospital and if they do not have a home to go home to recuperate and to heal from that, how do we think about providing that as a solution in the community? And then some healthcare systems have taken the step of either donating land for housing to be mm-hmm. built on it, building housing, having incentive programs for their employees to be able to purchase a home and helping support them in that way. So I think there's lots of creative ways that healthcare systems can really acknowledge and partner around this intersection of housing and health. And for us, within the Poole Institute for Health and within Franklin Park, we've been supporting our Franklin Park Housing Group that we are all a part of, in addition to North Penn Legal Services, the Real Estate Lab, Community Services for Children, and thinking comprehensively, right? So there's a lot of housing plans, a lot of housing strategies, and for us it was how do we align with that but bring it down to a neighborhood level? How do we understand the landscape of the Franklin Park housing stock and how many are older homes, how many are rental homes, what landlords do we need to become friends with and start to develop a relationship with? How do we think about strategic investments in properties there and ones that we want to either bring up to code and have, a whole home repair effort, ones that might maybe just need one thing, but also how do we think about mediation or supporting our residents there in terms of being able to stay in the locations they are if they would like to, or support them in moving if they need to move. And so I think speaking to what Sherry was saying, how do we understand what people need in their lives, and then how do we match housing to meet that? And I think drilling down to a neighborhood level makes it at least a little less overwhelming to think about. Still hard. There's no easy solutions here, for sure. But I think it's all about partnerships even in this conversation alone, we've talked about real estate, we've talked about developers, we've talked about city government, we've talked about nonprofits, healthcare systems, right? It really does, everyone has a role in that housing piece. And I think public-private partnerships become important here, and thinking about how we can each contribute something as a, rather than own the whole problem. But Sherry and Vicki, I would love your thoughts on that, or things you want to add about what our group is working on or how we're thinking about housing.
I think one of the biggest needs that we see is workforce housing. It's the fact that everybody assumes that everybody who needs housing and doesn't have housing is unemployed or has a physical or a mental challenge in addition to other issues. Some do, but we also have a huge need for workforce housing. And that's where every business, every hospital network, every employer can get involved in the housing situation. If we're going to build a warehouse, we need to build housing. If we're going to build a new hospital campus, we need to build housing. If we're going to build a new department store, we need to build housing. And I can't imagine how that isn't a huge benefit to that operation, to have people within walking distance to their jobs, to have people within walking distance to their homes if their children are in that home. It's just a huge economic driver to be able to live near where you work. And it gives you so much family time and so much social time back if you're not commuting using public transportation or your own transportation. So the addressing workforce housing can be everybody's goal or mission, that anything we're going to build new, we're going to make sure that the workforce is right nearby.
That's a great really important point. Anything you wanted to add, Sherry?
I'll just echo. I think having the healthcare systems actively involved in these housing conversations is important, because it's just recognizing that we're all part of this ecosystem. We're all part of the ecosystem that is the neighborhood or the community or the city, and that housing policy is health policy, is education policy, right? All of these pieces feed into and support each other, or the opposite can be true. So I just think that's really valuable. And it's recognizing that housing, though complicated and, you know, something that makes us want to, like, you know, get up and run our heads into this wall, is also the thing that we must get right. We must get it right. And so, you know, it means for me and for us and for the Franklin Park Housing Group and for our partners, getting housing right means getting it right for all of our neighbors. And it makes me think of our, what I would say is a motto that we have for the Franklin Park Group, which is residents at the center. Everything we do, we want to come back to residents at the center, is what we're doing, or the decisions we're making, or the partnerships that we're building, coming back to supporting our neighbors.
Great point. And just like that, we're out of time. the last point I just want to make for our callers is the line between, or the link with, the healthcare partners. Mm-hmm. Why is it important that they're in this game? Because humane housing keeps people healthy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Housing is a big driver of health. There is such an intersection between people's houses, from the physical structure of it and how that's impacting their health, but also to that larger community piece. And so if healthcare doesn't have a stake in housing, then it's, you know, not on its mission. And so if the mission is health, then housing is a big part of that equation.
Right. Well, thank you, Samantha, Sherry, and Vicki, for another great discussion. You can always listen to this program again by going to our website at wdiy.org, the WDIY app, where the Wellbeing Report is archived, or your favorite podcast platform. Again, I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, along with Samantha Schack, wishing you a great evening.
This has been the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.